Christine, how are you?
I'm excellent, thanks.
Now, I guess we'll start with the good thing. Montreal and Edmonton, a combined 7 penalties.
It was a great day. The players stuck to playing football. I call a game like that very vanilla. And, there were a few interesting, challenging plays, but for the most part, everybody just stayed on course. There wasn't a bunch of holds. There wasn't a bunch of illegal contact. None of that stuff. No illegal blocks. It was a good game. Well played game.
Now, Bud, late in that game, Edmonton was inside the 5-yard line. They lined up in jumbo offense. They had Almondo Sewell lined up as the tight end, and he got flagged for procedure because he slid. They're saying, and the rule was that he did it to intentionally draw the other team offside. Well, of course, that's why he did it. Why is that a penalty, though?
Well, it's really in how he did it. That particular play is called a breakout, and it wasn't just Sewell that shifted, but it was the end on the other side as well. If you look very closely at Sewell, the first thing that he does just prior to shifting his body to the left is he did a quick bob with his head. And typically that in and of itself is going to draw a defensive player at you. And then he hard breaks left. If it had been more of a smooth transition, similar to what happened on the other side of the line, I suspect that we wouldn't have had 4 flags on it. But it was too much. And, you know, we've talked not only with the Eskimos, but we've talked with all of the ball clubs because everybody tries to find a place where they can gain an advantage, and they seem to always fall back on special teams plays. And, the only thing that they can really do is to try to entice the other side into jumping into the neutral zone so they can snap the ball. It was a tough one, but they got their 3 points and they moved on, and we'll have further discussions when the team is back from its time off and see if we can't smooth the edges a little bit for them.
Bud Steen joins us inside the stripes. Bud, the big controversial call happened in the Winnipeg-BC game, which was a great game going back and forth, huge on the line, and they were asking, why was it ruled not a fumble on that call?
So, looking at the play, and I must say that I didn't watch the game live. I've reviewed the end of the game, though. Harris gets grabbed at about the 5-yard line, and for all intents and purposes, the only reason that he is still moving at all is because the BC players are keeping him up so they can claw at the ball. He is not advancing. He's just protecting. Now, when I say he's not advancing, he's not propelling himself forward. He's just doing what he can to kind of keep that ball wrapped up and keep it protected. And the line of scrimmage official, the line judge, reached the conclusion that forward progress was done, and he killed the play. And if you see the play again, you will see the official come onto the screen. He is far closer to the players than he would have been had he not have made the decision that the play was over and blow his whistle. So it's pretty clear that he had ruled forward progress, and then. I mean, everybody can see the rest of it. As Harris is going to the ground, the ball starts finding its way out of his grasp, and, of course, it hits the ground before his backside's on the ground. But you don't just have to be contacted and brought to the ground to conclude a football play. If it's determined that progress is over, then the officials can stop that play, and that's what they did in that case.
Now, I watched it. Did they blow the whistle?
Yeah. Okay. you can see, if you look at it again, Jason, you can see the line judge running in and waving his arms above his head, and then he all of a sudden he starts dancing back, like holy smokes here, I'm going to get run over, because the players are all over the place and he's about to get hit. He killed the play, and he had made that millisecond decision that forward progress was over at about the five, and then killed it.
So, looking at it hindsight, was it the right call to have killed it at that time?
None of us have the angle that he had on the play. I would support the call. From if we had a camera over his shoulder, I think we would see that Harris was stalled for a period of time at the five, and then as the BC players are digging for the football, then momentum is actually carrying him forward a bit, but with those three bodies. So, I tend to support the call. It's a tough one, very tough for the BC Lions. I guess, what can I say? Not everything is going to go your way. And, I don't think that there was a serious error made there. Now, having said that, I haven't talked to Toronto about it. I don't know how that particular play has been evaluated. This will be fodder for future discussion relative to replay and what happens in the last 3 minutes of a ball game.
Bud Steen joins us inside the stripes. Now, Bud, there was a big controversy about the Eskimos not wearing a microphone. Have the officials ever been mic'd up for a game?
No, not directly to the network. Years ago, we wore live mics in Vancouver. The director of officiating, Don Barker, wanted to get a clearer sense of the communication that was going on down in the field. So the referee had a mic open up to the spotter's booth so that the director could listen in on the various conversations, and he learned quite a bit through that process. But no, I'm not sure that it would necessarily be the best thing to have a live mic on an official on the field. It might tend to undermine a little bit of confidence from the perspective of, why are you guys putting up with all of that kind of abuse down there? Because there's a lot of stuff that's said in the heat of the game that players may not even realize they're saying, and the officials just kind of let it fall off their back, so to speak, and I don't know that you would really want to know exactly what was going on down there.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Now, we're into the final month of the season. When is the next cut down for CFL officials?
There's another set of assignments coming out. I expect that we'll probably get a little skinnier than we are. We don't have a lot of extra bodies right now. And as it gets colder, we're always concerned about having enough horses to get us through to the playoffs without having to work double headers. So we're pretty much, I think, where we want to be, save and except for maybe a couple of guys. And then come the playoffs, we'll go with our strongest set. Decisions haven't been made yet on that. That typically isn't done until after the regular season is completed, and then we can, then we can see who our strongest guys are, and making sure that we've got the best possible aggregations of officials working together, so that we can give the best possible performance to the various games that we're working.
Did you see the Calgary-Toronto game?
I watched as much of it as I could.
Did you see the ball flip 15-yard penalty?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, I'll get you to watch that, and okay. I'm curious on your response next week. Like, I don't know if a ball – like, What is it? What was it deemed? Was it unsportsmanlike, objectionable conduct? I think was the call. I'm like, yeah, I want you to watch that one, Steve.
If it was an OC, it should have only been 10. But you know, who knows? Maybe somebody ruled roughness. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I can't even remember what the call was. I just remember being. I was like, really? That's a penalty? Now the game was such a blowout; it obviously didn't matter.
Yeah, so. Well, but still, you don't want made up stuff going on. You know, you got to stay consistent game to game. And so that the players, the coaches, know what to anticipate, what to expect, and what to coach to. So I'll find that and be ready to answer that question next week.